Good morning. So I have the privilege of sharing the word from God's word this morning. And this is probably my last preaching here at IT Park before we move to another phase of life and ministry outside the country, if God allows it. Now, I should warn you ahead of time that this will not be an expository type of preaching. I'm aware that you're going through the Gospel of John, and you're doing it one chunk or one section at a time. So you're doing it as an expository series. But for this morning's sermon, I will be doing more of a topical, thematic sermon, especially highlighting the ongoing imperative for world missions, which is very close to my heart. I've been teaching world missions at the seminary for years already. And so since this is going to be my last preaching here, let me share something that is very close to God's heart as well as very close to my heart as well. We will look at how we can help fulfill Matthew 24:14. Okay, that's the passage, the main passage that I'd like to highlight, Matthew 24:14. Some of you are already familiar perhaps with that passage, but if this is your first time, I hope and pray that what we're doing today will encourage your heart and will challenge you to be obedient to the Lord. Now imagine with me for a moment, what would have happened had the gospel of Christ not reached the Philippines? Think about that. What would have happened had the gospel of Christ not reached our country? That's the question. In our country's history, we learned that our ancestors were animistic, spiritists. If you're familiar with our history, you know, they worshiped or they believed in a pantheon of gods and many spirits. They were worshiping the sun, the moon, the trees, and many others. And many of them, because of their animistic, spiritist belief system, they had these amulets. They were wearing amulets. Are you familiar with that? In Cebuano, we call them habak. Huh? They have habak here in the waistline or their necklace. And I hope some of you are not wearing habak. When you trusted in Christ, you have surrendered that aspect because Christ is enough. Christ is our ultimate protector. But that's our history. And so if the gospel of Christ had not reached our country, there would be no living word, IT Park. There would be no Christian churches at all. And all of us are probably still worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of these trees. And probably would be offering sacrifices, you know, to a banana tree, something like that. But praise God for His redemptive concern for the Filipinos. Praise God for His redemptive purpose for our country. God made a way for this message of salvation to travel from Israel and to travel to Europe and to America until it reaches us here in the Philippines. That's how far this message of salvation had to travel, of course, through these faithful witnesses, through these faithful believers who believed that this was part of their obligation as disciples of Jesus Christ to carry this message forward wherever the Lord would lead them or would send them at that time. Historically, in 1521, I'm sure you're familiar with this, 1521, that's in the 16th century, the Roman Catholic Christianity from Spain arrived in the Philippines. Are you familiar with Yuyo Villamil song, di ba? March 15, 1621. Huh? If you're familiar with that Cebuano song. And so Catholic Christianity arrived 500 years ago, and they also had a significant impact in the evangelization among Filipinos. However, in the latter part of the 19th century, Protestant and evangelical missionaries started to arrive in the Philippines, especially coming from the United States of America. If you're familiar with evangelicalism, evangelical Christians emphasize that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, in Christ's sufficient work on the cross. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This is not through good works, or this is not through association with a certain sect or religious group. It's only by grace, God's grace. It's a gift. It's through faith. We believe in God's gift of salvation through Christ, and it's in Jesus Christ alone, not in the church, not in Mary, not in any saints. And so that's the kind of message that evangelical missionaries preached in the Philippines. And they too have a great impact in the evangelization of our country, in which Living Word is actually one of the products of that missionary work by these evangelical missionaries. But before these missionaries from the U.S. started to come here, there was a big meeting that happened in New York. And that was in 1898. This is 126 years ago. In 1898, Presbyterian, Baptist, and Methodist leaders in the United States, they met together in New York in order to discuss how to evangelize Filipinos. So this big meeting of these leaders happened in 1898. This became known as the Committee Agreement. In this meeting, they agreed that there would only be one Protestant church in each area. That's why if you're familiar with what's happening in the Philippines at that time, you would notice that the Missionary Alliance movement or group, they were positioned in southern Philippines. That's why there's a lot of Alliance churches in Mindanao. And then many Baptists were assigned in the central Visayas area, and others were assigned in Luzon. That's part of the committee agreement. And when they already had missionaries in 1901 in Manila, they met again to discuss the details of this agreement so that they would also know how to implement this. So at that time, they would have that focus. Okay, mga Alliance focus on in the south. Okay, these Baptists focus in the middle, something like that. And we praise God for that particular movement. We praise God in retrospect, looking back at this history. We really thank God for these American missionaries who believed in God and then they obeyed God. They did not just stay in America and say, bahala naman mga Pinoy. No, they obeyed God. They took seriously the Great Commission. And then they said, okay, we will go to the Philippines because we also want to introduce to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for me, as a teacher of world missions, I'm looking at that information. I say, God, thank you that you've used these people from America and from Europe, some of them, so that they would be able to reach our country, our kababayan, the Filipinos, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the impact of that was that the gospel of salvation was preached in our country, it was preached in our cities, it was preached in our towns and villages, even down to the city level. If you're familiar with the barangay, there are different sitios. The gospel penetrated into those sitios. That's why churches were established. And by divine providence, the message of salvation reached you and me. It reached you and me. And when we heard that gospel message presented to us, we were pierced to the heart. We believe in Jesus. We repented from our sins. We trusted in Christ as our sufficient Lord and Savior. And then what do we have now? We have eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins. We have all of these spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And for you here who are at Living Word IT Park, you are so blessed to be part of this growing church. This church that is dynamic, God-centered, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered church. This is a very big blessing for you that you are part of this local congregation that is now also part of the Great Commission that will carry on this gospel forward to the ends of the earth. Because one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, should this gospel stop with us? Should this gospel stop with us? I hope your answer is that no, no way that this gospel should stop with me or with us. Because the global mission of Jesus Christ through the church continues until today. The global mission of Jesus Christ through the church continues until today. The Great Commission is still our Great Commission, not the Great Consummation. If you're familiar with that term in Cebuano, this is not our consummation. This is a great commission for us. We believe in this and we want to apply this. We want to respond to this as obediently as we could. In Matthew 28, that's a great commission. For those who are not familiar, Matthew 28, 16 to 20, that's the passage that we famously call the Great Commission. And this Jesus, here it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And so this great commission was not just given to the original disciples or apostles. This is also given to the church right now. So we have this great command from King Jesus. We are commanded to make disciples of all nations. That's the great commission. Make disciples of all nations. Of course, all nations includes the Philippines here. And we thank God that there's already an ongoing disciple-making process in our country. We praise God for the fact that you are here, sitting down there. If you claim to be a disciple of Jesus, meaning discipleship process is already happening in your own life. This is happening in Living Word IT Park. But we should not forget that this is not just about us, Filipinos. This is not just about us, Filipinos. The disciple-making command should be done among all nations. And the all nations here refers to the all ethnic groups, all people groups in the world. So we need to have a wider perspective when it comes to disciple making or discipleship. It has to be all nations because that's the command that Jesus was giving to his disciples, to the church. And how do we make disciples? Number one, we go. As we are going, we make disciples. The going here is a dynamic activity. We go where the people are. We go, we cross boundaries. We cross geographical boundaries. We cross cultural boundaries. We cross religious boundaries so that we can bring the message of salvation to as many people as possible. That's the act of going. And as we are going as a church, as we are proclaiming this gospel of Jesus Christ to others, when these people believe, what do we do with them? We baptize them. That's part of disciple making. That's why baptism is important, because this is the first act of obedience for a believer of Jesus. He is baptized. When someone is baptized, that person is saying, "I am now a follower of Jesus, and I will help fulfill the Great Commission." That's what we are saying to the world. I'm now a follower of Jesus, and I want to obey Jesus. I want to help fulfill the Great Commission that is given me and other Christians. And so when they're baptized, we continue discipling them by teaching them. Teaching them what? What do we teach them according to Jesus? We teach them everything that Christ has commanded us. That's the curriculum. Everything that Christ has commanded us. That's why I'm glad that you're going through the book of John in your series. Why? Because in the book of John, you would see the life and ministries of Jesus and specific teachings of Jesus there. His claims, who he is, what he did, and the things that he taught people back then. And so the more you learn about what Jesus said, the more you grow as a disciple of Christ, and then you also have the information to pass on to the next disciple. And so this continues. And Jesus said that as we are doing this, he will be with us for one day, right? Only for one day. He will be with us until the end of the age. And so this is something good. So we ask a question, when should we stop doing this? When should we stop making disciples of all nations? We will only stop until Matthew 24:14 is fulfilled. We will only stop until Matthew 24:14 is fulfilled. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He was talking about the end of the age, wars, rumors of wars. And then one of the most interesting things that he said in that section of Matthew, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." You see what Jesus is saying there? This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed to all the nations throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Now, this gospel of the kingdom refers to this good news about God's saving rule, God's reign. And Jesus inaugurated this kingdom when he first came. No wonder when Jesus started preaching, what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of God is here, is near. Jesus, the King of the kingdom, was bringing the kingdom to man. If you were listening to Pastor TJ's sermon on John chapter 3, when Nicodemus and Jesus had this conversation, Jesus was telling him, unless you are born again, Nico, you cannot enter, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So for us who have repented from our sins, for us who have trusted in Christ's sufficient work on the cross as our Savior and Lord, we have become regenerated and we have now entered into the kingdom of God. We believe that Jesus is our Savior. We believe that Jesus is our King. We are in His kingdom. We are now called citizens of the kingdom of God. Now when Jesus comes again, He will consummate this kingdom of God. We will see the full glory of this kingdom. We will see the full glory of King Jesus when he comes again. We see him face to face, and we will really see what the kingdom of God really is in all of its glory and splendor. So from the first coming until the second coming, we are now in this in-between aspect. The kingdom is operating right now, and we are proclaiming this good news that King Jesus is presenting to the people, whoever they are, whatever ethnicity they are, they need this message that they can only be saved, they can only enter the kingdom of God by or through Jesus Christ. No one else, nothing else. And so Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed, will be proclaimed. He did not say might be proclaimed. He said will be proclaimed to all nations. All nations meaning all people groups, all ethnic groups. So this implies that there will be a gospel work in each people group. There will be a going aspect. There should be the baptizing in each people group. There should be the teaching in each people group. Because once that happens, Jesus said, and then the end will come. That phrase, and then, is very powerful. Say, one scholar, Carson, he said this could be one of the most important verses that we pay attention to at this time in history. Because once this is fulfilled, what happens next? The end will come. And so the question is, why is it not fulfilled yet? Why is the end of the age not here yet? The answer is, it is because the gospel of the kingdom has not been preached among all nations yet. If you just look at the verse. Because, and then, right? This has to happen first before another thing can happen. And so, when we look at Joshua Project, this is a reputable Christian website. They're trying to study what's happening among all people groups. And according to Joshua Project, there are 17,317 people groups in the world. 17,000 plus people groups in the world. But out of that number, there are still 7,282 people groups that are considered unreached or unengaged. Now, when Joshua Project mentions the word unreached, they're referring to if this group of people, if there's only like 2% that are evangelical Christians, that's considered unreached. Only 2%. Unengaged, if there are no known missionary work among this people group, Joshua Project could not trace any single missionary or believer among them, they label them as unengaged. No one is engaging with them yet about the gospel. See, if that's the case, the need, you can say that the work of the gospel is still far from being finished. Because if you put this into number, the 7,282, this is actually 42.1% of the entire population, or 3.43 billion people. Wow, that's a lot of people, representing 7,000 plus people groups. So when we look at our country, the Philippines, according to Joshua Project, there are 202 known people groups. Just imagine, we're all Filipinos, but we have distinct people groups. No? The Hiligaynon, the Manubo, the Cebuano, things like those. Okay, those are people groups. 202 people groups in our country. And thank God, only 29 na lang. 29 people groups that are considered unreached. And most of them are located in the south, in southern Philippines, in Mindanao. And all of them coming from the Muslim background. The dominant religion is Islam. Praise God, like the Missionary Alliance movement, they are trying to reach them with the gospel. There are already Filipino Christians who have the heart and they have the effort right now to try to reach out with these people groups. At least they are not unengaged. They are unreached, but they are already being engaged at with some Christians or coming from different background. So we praise God that our country is considered reached country. Hindi tuntag rich, no? Dato ba? And when it comes to the gospel, we are not considered gospel poor anymore. We are not considered gospel poor anymore. Why, even in our country, we have a lot of holidays that are associated with Christianity. So even if you are coming from the Islamic faith, sometimes they still celebrate Christmas. And they know what Christmas is, right? They receive Christmas bonus, di ba? receive Christmas bonus if you don't believe in this. But yeah, they participate in this. Why? Because they are in our country and these are big deals for us in the country. Meaning they have a lot of opportunities to really hear what Christmas is all about. The Good Friday, Easter Sunday, you know, these things. There's a lot of opportunities for people to get to know Jesus. That's why when they reach heaven, on the judgment, they cannot say, I don't have a chance. Eh. No, they have a lot of chances here. So we praise God that the Protestant evangelical missions movement to the Philippines is successful. In a way, looking at it from the macro context, the gospel work here is really progressing. And personally, I praise God for that. Now, we still have foreign missionaries here. And I appreciate their presence here. I appreciate their work here. Because they're doing beautiful things to help disciple our kababayan, our people here. We have Pastor Roberto and his family. You have Dr. Guess and John. We have, who else, no? There are probably other missionaries who are here. Thank you so much for helping us. We appreciate you. Thank you for obeying God. It's not easy to make a decision to carry, to bring your family to another country and serve there with the gospel work. Not easy. But because of God's grace and God's calling, they're willing to say, okay, Lord, yeah, so be it. Be it unto us according to your word, according to your will. So we are grateful for what you are doing here. We are grateful for that. But since we are deeply concerned about God's global work. We need to expand our perspective about this. We need to expand our perspective about this because God's desire is to reach the whole world. That's why the Great Commission, he did not just say, make disciples of all Filipinos. No, that's not the part of it. But make disciples of all nations. The Lord has now positioned our country to have a global impact. Because in our country, according to that information, we already have 11.32%. It's like in every 100 Pinoys, there's about 11 or 12 evangelical Christians. And if all of these are mobilized, if all of us are faithful, we have enough manpower to reach the whole country. Enough manpower to reach the whole country. So that's a big blessing. Very big blessing. But when we look at the world, we find that there is gospel poverty still in the world. We see a lot of material and financial poverty even here in Cebu. You're familiar with that. You've seen it all around. Material, financial poverty. But gospel poverty is also real. This is so real, especially in many parts of the world where there are millions and even billions of people who don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. If you ask them about Stephen Curry or Manny Pacquiao, they know who these people are. But if you ask them about Jesus, they might ask you, is he a basketball player or a boxer? Because they don't have that idea yet who this Jesus is. They need to know that. They need to know Jesus Christ. That's why I'm grateful for ministries like Haggai Institute, if you're familiar with them. Haggai Institute, because they have seen this need and they want to help equip church leaders so that they can also help eliminate gospel poverty in the world. They highlight that Christ's last command, that's the making of disciples, is our first concern. And so if it is the case, then we should be deeply concerned about the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you should be concerned of the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14 because that's at the heartbeat of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite Bible scholars and pastors is John Piper. And this is what Piper said. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. We had a good worship here. You were singing songs, beautiful songs to the Lord. We have this opportunity. Why? Because we are saved. We have received the gospel. We have a relationship with Jesus. We can do this freely. But millions and billions of people, they don't have this opportunity yet. They cannot worship the true God yet. Why? Because they don't know who the true God is. And so Piper again says, missions exist because worship doesn't. Missions right now is temporary. Because once the end of the age will come, there's no more missions. Why? Because all of us will be believers. No more evangelism. No more disciple making. But right now, while the need is still there, while there is still gospel poverty in the world, we need to do something about this. And so Piper continued, missions is our way of saying the joy of knowing Christ is not a private or tribal or national or ethnic privilege. It is for all peoples. And that's why we go, because we have tasted the joy of worshiping Jesus and we want all the families of the earth included. That's why I said earlier, this is not just about us, Filipino Christians, American Christians. This is about God's purposes for the world. We need to have the same perspective as Jesus because we are His disciples. We learn from Him and we want to be in step with King Jesus here. If Jesus wants disciple making among all nations, we also want that. Sometimes we sing the song, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." Do we really mean it? Because what breaks God's heart is to see gospel poverty among these unreached groups. We have to do something about this. This is not just the responsibility of American Christians. This is also the responsibility of Filipino evangelical Christians. Again, if you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus, then have this mindset that I am part of this movement of making disciples, not just among Filipinos, but making disciples of all nations, as God gives me the ability and the opportunities. So how can we at Living Word IT Park help fulfill Matthew 24:14? Let's now go to the practical applications of this. Let me introduce you four specific action steps that we as a church can do so that we can help fulfill the Great Commission as well as Matthew 24:14. Number one, we need to send missionaries from among ourselves to proclaim this gospel among unreached peoples. This is a very important task for the church. The sending out of representatives. Okay, not all of us will be sent out to go to different places in the world. Some will be called to do that, not all. But some from among us might be sent out to help in the gospel work in where? Vietnam, Cambodia, Myanmar, Burma. Countries like those, some of you might be sent to Timbuktu. I don't know where that is. But there should be a sending out of representatives to help in the gospel work. It's like paying it forward. 100 years ago, we received a lot of missionaries to help us, to introduce us to Jesus. Now that the Christianity is already growing here, there's a significant presence of evangelical Christianity in the country. It is now our turn to help other fields. Pay it forward, because this is what Jesus wants us to do. Acts 13, we find this example. The church at Antioch. They had prophets, they had teachers like Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menaean, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Five leaders, most likely Barney. We'll just call him Barney. No, Barnabas. Barney is the senior pastor because his name was mentioned first. So there's a big chance that he was the senior pastor of this local church. But then what did the Spirit do? Set apart for me two of your guys, Barney and Saul. I have a special work for them. And what work was that? Said here, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so, again, these were leaders already. These were teachers and prophets at the church at Antioch. But they were specifically called by God for a missionary work. The work here is a missionary work because if you look at Acts 13 onwards, you would see the missionary journeys of Paul going to different places in the Roman Empire so that he would bring the gospel of salvation to those places, to those people who have never heard of Jesus Christ yet. So that's the missionary work. Now my question is that, does the Spirit of God still send out some believers today to serve as cross-cultural missionaries, cross-cultural gospel workers? The answer is yes. The fact that we still have missionaries among us here, this is a testament that God is still doing this. The Holy Spirit is the strategist of mission. He is the main sender of mission. Because if you look at verse 4 in Acts 13, it's the Spirit of God who sent them off. The church sent them off, but the Spirit of God sent them off because this is a partnership between God and the church. The sending out of representatives to the nations. So one of my questions for Living Word is this. What if God will say, set apart for me Pastor TJ and Pastor Daryl for another work? I have called them outside Cebu. How will the church respond? Because sometimes you would say, Lord, dako pa kayong need dito sa Cebu. Why pull out? They're very effective here. Why remove them? Usually that's our case. No? But when the Spirit speaks, when the Spirit guides, I hope the church will respond like what they did. They fasted. They prayed. Why did they do that? Wala sila budget pagkaon? No. They fasted. Why? Because they wanted to discern God's specific leading for these two guys. And once they discerned that, they said, okay, we'll obey. That's why they laid their hands on them, and then they sent them off. They're saying, we are behind you. We believe that this is God's work. We believe that this is God's direction for you. We will release you in the name of Jesus. We will pray for you. We will support you. That's what it means when you lay your hands on them. And I hope there will be more from among this congregation who will be sent out to help in the harvest in many parts of the world. I really hope. I hope this word is like prophetic for this church. God has positioned you here in this very strategic location in our city. You can reach a lot of people here, not just Filipinos. But God could send some from among you to become gospel bearers in other parts, especially among unreached peoples. Because that's one of the ways we can respond to the gospel poverty in the world. Another very important thing that all of us can do is to pray for a gospel movement among all peoples, not just among Filipinos. We need to pray. We need to include this as part of our prayer list, not just for personal needs, my wants. No. Those are included. But please include praying for a gospel movement among all peoples. I already told you that there's still 7,000 plus that are unreached, billions of people. We need to pray for those people. And you know, God will answer that prayer because this is God's desire. This is God's will. Because Jesus already said that this gospel will be preached. And so we need to pray, Lord, I want a gospel movement among these people groups, not just among Filipinos. At least in your church, your prayer meeting is growing in number, like what Brother Lawrence posted a few weeks back. There were 66 who attended. That's good. Because in some churches, there's a prayer anemia that's going on. There's only like 2-3 people who want to gather for corporate prayer, and that's not enough. We need to mobilize the whole church to become a prayerful church. And when we pray, again, our prayer is not just focused on our own needs and wants. We need to include praying for the nations because this is God's will. Look at what Jesus said, Matthew 9:37. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so what's Jesus' solution? His solution is, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of the harvest? That's Jesus Christ. We need to pray to Jesus, Lord, we're seeing this unreached people group. Please send gospel workers among them. That's what we pray. Because this is part of God's will. This is what he wants. This is the solution that he's giving the disciples. We're not making this up. Jesus himself said, this is what you can do. You want all the nations to know who Jesus is? Pray to the Lord of the harvest so he would send out laborers into his harvest field. You know, my family needs your prayer. Seriously. As was announced earlier, we are preparing to leave for Thailand to help in the gospel work there for as long as God wants us there. If God allows it, our desire is to be deployed sometime in October this year. It's going to be a very big move for the family. We're a family of 4, 2 children. It's a very big move for us. We are preparing for this already. Now, you might ask, why Thailand? Now, I checked the Joshua Project, then I learned that Thailand has 71.6 million population, but only has 1.02% evangelical. So they are still under the unreached category. So in unreached, they need outside help. That's why we are there. We sense this strong calling from the Lord to help in the gospel work there. And then after many years, if God wants us to move to another field, so be it. Because we have fully embraced our servanthood in Jesus. We say, Lord, just send us wherever you want us and help us to be obedient. Because in our case, we have a lot of what if, a lot of questions. But just give us the grace to be obedient to you and to your calling for our life, for our family. And so please, remember us in prayer, in your prayer meetings. If Brother Lawrence forgets, remind him, please. Brother Lawrence, let's pray for the Lisby family. Let's pray for a gospel movement in Thailand. You know, Thailand, Christianity has been there for 100 years, but still, it's a very hard field, just like Japan and many other countries. Very hard. But one day, we're praying that there's going to be like a breakthrough of the gospel there, and many Thai people will be able to know King Jesus, worship Him together with us. If we are concerned about gospel work in the world, we will pray like the psalmist in Psalm 67. This is the prayer of the psalmist. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. But He's asking to bless them, the us, but there's the missional dimension to that blessing. He was not just thinking about them as a Jewish people who had this relationship with Yahweh. He was thinking about the nations. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. You know, we can adapt this prayer. Lord, bless me. Bless my profession. Bless my business. Bless my family. Bless my church. But these blessings will not stop with us. These blessings are supposed to be shared to the nations. And one of the greatest blessings that we have already received from God is the blessing of salvation. The blessing of the gospel. We already have it. We want to share this to the world. If we cooperate with King Jesus here. Bless us indeed that your way, your saving power may be known among the nations. If Living Word wants to help fulfill Matthew 24:14, we will continue to pray for a gospel movement among all peoples. There's a third action point I'd like to emphasize. We need to establish partnerships in the gospel. Gospel partnerships are a very important part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission and Matthew 24:14. When we say gospel partnership, we are partnering with one another in the defense and confirmation of the gospel locally. And if we're given a chance, we can do it cross-culturally. But there should be a partnership involved here. And partnership is not just one person. Two parties usually. Unless it's multilateral, so three parties, no? Or more. But partnerships in the gospel, we want partnerships to be forged here. Because like, for example, for Philippians 1, Paul was so joyful every time he remembered this church. And he said in chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Pasalamat siya ba? Di para nato nga maglagot ta makabat makauna-una atong uban no okay kauna-una kas utang di ba maglagot tawhana wa mo mo bayad. But with this, every time he remembered them, he was so joyful, he was so thankful. Thank you, Lord, for Philippian church. Why did Paul say that? Now in verse 5, he said, because of your partnership in the gospel. There was a Philippian church, a local church, but they partnered with this missionary Paul and his team who was going around places in order to proclaim the gospel. But they had this partnership. And then in chapter 4, we find that this partnership involves supporting materially and financially. Paul himself mentioned that in his letter, chapter 4, starting verse 14. He said, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving. And in this partnership, Paul was the giving side because he was the one he was the receiving end of this partnership because he received support from the Philippian church, but the Philippian church was the one in the giving side. So in this partnership of giving and receiving, and both parts are very important in this gospel partnership because sometimes you can be the receiving end. At other times, you can be the giving end in this partnership of the gospel. And this is something that is also close to God's heart because without these partnerships, we cannot fulfill the Great Commission. We cannot fulfill Matthew 24:14. So Paul was so joyful in this. He said, yeah, you enter into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied. having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. They even sent one of their leaders to carry their gifts to this missionary. There was no GPS, no cell phones back then. So how did Epaphroditus know where Paul was? Huh? It would have been difficult for him to trace, you know, where Paul was. But they sent someone from among. This is how serious they were in this partnership. Go find Paul and bring our gifts, our support to his missionary work. And so Paul, looking at that, he said, these gifts you sent, what are they? They are a fragrant offering. They are a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Why is that? Because God sees everything that happens in this partnership. God sees every prayer that you pray for your gospel partner, for the church planters who are here, for the missionaries who are serving outside the country. God sees every single activity, every centavo you invest in this partnership. God sees all of that. And if it's done according to his will, it's done with the right motive, God sees and he says, wow, it's so good. This is so pleasing. Okay, this is so pleasing to the Lord. That's why Paul was so confident in telling them, my God will supply all or every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You can never outgive God. God sees what's happening and he will bless you even more. He will provide for your every need, they need, because you are investing, you are supporting, you are praying in this gospel partnership. We praise God. Those missionaries in the past, 100 years ago, who first came here, and the missionaries who are here, they have hundreds of people praying for them. It's like holding the ropes for them on the other end. Yeah, we are here. You are there, we are here. We are praying for you. We are investing so that you can continue the gospel work that God has entrusted you. This is partnership in the gospel. And we hope and pray that God will forge all of these partnerships, either locally and globally. Last language. If you become an OFW, Overseas Filipino Worker, become an Overseas Filipino Witness. OFW gyapon. No? Overseas Filipino Witness. Now, many of our kababayan, they want to go, diba? Work abroad. They want to go to so many places for greener pasture. But wherever the Lord sends you, wherever, you know, whatever doors God will open for you, I hope our primary consideration is not the dollar. Our primary consideration is to be able to live out the gospel wherever God wants me to be. If some of you will use your profession to enter into Saudi Arabia and many of these countries that are very difficult to penetrate with the gospel, if God gives you that opportunity, remember, you are a child of God first and foremost, who happens to be an engineer, a teacher, a doctor, whatever your profession is. Your first calling is to God. I'm a child of God, and because I'm a child of God, I am the light of this section of the world. I am the salt of this earth. I will proclaim the gospel. I will demonstrate the gospel wherever I am. So wherever God sends you, you have about 10 million OFWs in the world right now, and it's increasing. If God gives you that opportunity, please remember, become an Overseas Filipino Witness, because that's your contribution also in helping fulfill Matthew 24:14. Don't just focus on the Filipinos. Focus on the unreached people groups. Now, to end this, okay, ending na get. No? Gutom na? Kamay na lang. So, in order to end this, let me say that we have faith that Matthew 24:14 will be fulfilled. I have a strong faith that this will be fulfilled. Aside from the fact that Jesus said this gospel will be proclaimed, okay, it's very sure in his mind, But at the same time, in the book of Revelation, we have been given a glimpse of the worship in heaven. That's why I'm very excited with this. In Revelation chapter 7, this is what John saw. He said, "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" You see that? There will be representatives coming from every tribe, every language, every nation. Meaning there will be Christians from each people group. They will be represented in heaven, and they will be together with us. We will sing this song. We know the lyrics. We don't know the tune yet. But the lyric says, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne." This is glorifying Jesus, the Lamb of God, because it's only Him who could save the world from sins. That's why we glorify Jesus together with them. So that's the vision of heaven. We have the glimpse here. But the problem right now is there are still people groups who cannot sing this song yet. Why? Because they don't know Jesus yet. They don't know the salvation yet. That's why my exhortation for us is to do our part so that we can help fulfill that. We will see them in heaven. My children, we have introduced to them the praying for the nations. We have Joshua Project prayer cards. And we say, you know, God will answer our prayer for this people group because of this. God will answer. We will meet representatives from this people group in heaven. And you know, maybe some of them will come to you and say, "Brother, sister, thank you. That because of your obedience, because of the partnerships in the gospel, because of the missionaries you sent from your church, I'm here. Because I heard about Jesus. I believe in Jesus. That's why I'm here with you. And I'll be with you forever and ever." Amen. Amazing. Amazing. So I hope with this exhortation this morning, this has warmed our hearts. This has maybe convicted us in some ways. But I hope you will say, "Lord, I'm your disciple. I want to help. I want to say yes to you in whatever ways I can. I will be faithful here locally. I will help Living Word IT Park. I'll be a fruitful disciple. And if you want me to serve cross-culturally and bring the gospel there, here I am, Lord. Send them." How did he send them? Here am I. I am. Send me. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that the gospel of salvation reached us personally, individually. That's a very big blessing. Of all the people in the world, that gospel reached us. Somebody obeyed and shared with us this gospel. And we are fully aware that that gospel traveled in a faraway place until it reached us here in the Philippines. Thank you. For these missionaries, the American missionaries, European, all missionaries that you sent to our country so that the gospel would be preached here. And now it's also our turn to help other fields, Lord. We're praying that there will be a gospel work among all people groups. We pray that you would send some to become missionaries, serving cross-culturally, coming from this church. I pray, Lord, that there will be more who will respond to this message today. Bless us indeed. Bless us individually. Bless us as a church so that the nations would know your saving power. Help us to be obedient, Lord. This is for your global glory. This is also for the benefit of this local church, Living Word IT Park. Thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Morning, everyone.